You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 40. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a plant-based diet because consistent evidence indicates that a diet without animal-based foods and high in plant-based foods will optimize your health and help prevent many chronic diseases like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, certain cancers, and obesity. Not only that, opting for a plant-based vegan diet can spare countless farmed animals who have been bred into existence to suffer on factory farms. It is all about supply and demand, and less demand means less supply and less suffering. Last but not least, a staggering 51% of global greenhouse gas emissions are caused by animal agriculture. And consuming a plant-based diet is easier than you think. And today, we will discuss how to stock up your vegan refrigerator. We'll talk about some tips about storing and preparing your refrigerated food, and some vegan sauce ideas to make any meal more enticing, including my favorite vegan white sauce and fruit paste. Not together, separate. Before we get started, I wanted to share some personal information with you. This week has been a little challenging for me, and I haven't felt as strong as I usually do. A few days ago, I wanted 2 over-easy eggs so bad, and I was like, where can I get those? Should I go to a restaurant and order them? But I don't want the butter, so I would need to buy them and cook them myself. But I don't want to support the egg industry, so I don't want to buy them. So this crazy conversation went on for about 5 minutes in my head, and this hasn't happened to me in years. So I stopped to think about it and tried to figure out what the heck was going on with me. And it finally occurred to me that I was experiencing emotional eating. You know, those times when we're more vulnerable to eating unhealthy or eating in an unconscious way. I am in the throes of writing my cookbook, which is turning into not only a book of recipes, but also a book of healthy essays and memoirs. Maya Angelou, my favorite poet and author, once said, "There is no greater agony than hearing an untold story inside of you." That makes a lot of sense to me now that I'm writing a book, and even though some of it is so very painful, some of it makes me laugh out loud. When I was around 9 or 10 years old, I begged my mother for months to drive me into Boston so I could go on this TV show called Bozo. Mainly because there was a segment on the show where a character named Clank, the Tin Can Man, came out and selected about 10 kids from the audience to twist with him on live television. Some of you might not even remember the dance, the twist, but I was all over that. When Chubby Checker's twist hit the earwaves, that was my life. I twisted to that song day and night. And whenever I would go to my friend's house, their parents would put on the 45 record and ask me to twist. And I would twist my heart out without any inhibitions. They would laugh and clap, and I was known all over my small town for my twisting. So I was extremely excited when my Bozo tickets arrived in my self-addressed envelope, because I was going to do the twist on live TV with Clank, the Tin Can Man. But there was a hurdle. I had to convince my mother to drive me into Boston for the show. My mom suffered from agoraphobia, which is a type of anxiety disorder in which you fear places or situations that might cause you to panic or feel trapped. She was also claustrophobic, so this wasn't going to be an easy hurdle. She usually only ventured out to 4 or 5 places, and unfortunately, the only way to get into Boston from our small town of Winthrop was through a long tunnel or over a huge bridge. We decided on the tunnel. I remember sitting in the car praying she wouldn't hit a wall or veer off her very narrow lane into another car. But somehow my mom pulled it off and got me through the tunnel into that television station. When we arrived, there was a long line of kids. But after evaluating the situation, I decided that the kids in the front of the line would be the kids sitting in the front row of the bleachers. And that is where Clank chose the children to dance with him, front row bleachers. I had it down. So somehow I moseyed my way to the front of the line. But when they finally filed us into the studio, I realized that I was going to be seated on the very top of the bleachers, and it would be impossible for Clank to reach me. I tried hard not to be discouraged because I was there to twist with Clank and nothing was going to stop me. Finally, the music started and Clank twisted his way into the studio and started choosing children from the front row to twist with him. Time was running out, so I decided I was going to jump about 5 feet from the top of the bleachers onto the floor. So I jumped, and I hit the ground quite hard and on my back, but I immediately pulled myself up and started twisting. The people working on the show just stared at me and couldn't believe I had done that, but it was live television show and they probably didn't want to drag a determined 9-year-old girl out of the studio. And when Clank twisted his way over to me, it was one of the best days of my young life. It takes a lot of willpower to do anything in this world, and being vegan is like jumping off those bleachers. Determination and will are constantly being tested, and every day is a new challenge. But that feeling of accomplishment that comes with being vegan keeps me going, and I don't need any stinking eggs. Now, let's talk about stocking your vegan refrigerator. In podcast 36, we focused on what to stock in your plant-based pantry and how to maximize flavors with herbs and spices. So, today we'll begin with your vegan refrigerator. Filling your refrigerator with healthy, whole, plant-based food makes cooking delicious dishes a pleasure and not a chore. And don't be afraid to experiment. Think like a chef and taste and smell spices and elements of the dishes you are creating. And keep it simple. A soup, a salad, a bowl, a stew that includes a legume, a grain, a vegetable, and some healthy plant-based fat. And some fruit for dessert on the side. Plan what you want to eat. Planning not only saves time and money, it allows a lot of flexibility and variation in your weekly meals. Try to batch cook, meaning make a pot of beans, some grains, and steam some vegetables for quick, healthy meals. Batch cooking allows you to cook more than you need at one time, so you have a stock of staple foods to use throughout the week. Fill your fridge with staple vegetables like celery, carrots, beets, and bell peppers because they have a longer refrigerated life than other vegetables, and you can use them in stews and soups and stir fries and making stock and salads. Other vegetables, like broccoli, carrots, cabbage, and asparagus, should be washed, cleaned, and cut so there is no prep needed when you decide to use them. And it will seem so much less daunting to throw together a soup, a stew, or a salad. I also recommend cooking some of those vegetables to throw in stir fries and salads. My favorite way to prepare vegetables is to simply steam them. Steaming is an ideal cooking method for almost any vegetable, because not only does steaming help to retain most of the vegetable's nutrients, it also helps preserve the shape of the vegetable and the vibrant color. And all you need is a steamer basket and a saucepan with a lid. You fill the saucepan with approximately 1 inch of water, put the steamer basket in, place it over medium-high heat, and bring it to a boil. Then, scatter your vegetables over the steamer basket, cover the pot, and reduce the heat to medium, and start steaming them. I always recommend to start checking the vegetables after a minute or two and immediately removing the cooked ones as you go. Tender vegetables like broccoli and asparagus will cook in a few minutes, and harder vegetables like carrots and potatoes will take longer. The vegetables are done when they are bright and vibrant in color and when the vegetables still have a bit of a crunch to them. Fresh greens like kale and spinach cook quickly and are always great for making quick salads and soups and stir fries. I recommend eating leafy greens every day. Stock up on fruits like apples, grapes, berries, and pears. These also last a long time in your refrigerator and can be included in breakfast bowls or in oatmeal or making muffins or just for snacking. Make sure you have lots of citrus on hand, like lemons, which can last 2 weeks in the refrigerator. Citrus juices are a great way to bring lively freshness to any dish. Citrus juices pair well with vegetables, desserts, rice dishes, ethnic dishes, and anytime you're looking for acidic balance without a deep, strong flavor. Grilling citrus is also fun. It caramelizes the sugars in the juice. I love grilling fruits like pineapple and serving it on the side to brighten up a dish. The next refrigerator staples are dates and dried fruit. These can come in handy for snacking, to put on oatmeal, or to make a fruit paste. If you've never had it before, fruit paste is a healthy alternative to using refined sugar. You can make fruit paste out of dates. You could also use dried mango, dried apricot, or figs. Fruit paste can be added to marinades and salad dressings as your sweet component. You can also add it to stir fries and, of course, to your morning oatmeal. Fruit paste are simple to prepare. You just add a half a cup of dried pitted fruit, like dates, then add 1 cup of water, and let the fruit soak in the refrigerator for about 2 hours. Then add the mixture to a blender and blend it until it's smooth, adding more water if needed. This will last in the refrigerator for about a week, or you can freeze it. Now, back to that refrigerator. The refrigerator is not the go-to storage unit for all your produce. There are 4 fresh foods that should never be refrigerated, and they are tomatoes, potatoes, onions, and garlic. Potatoes like cool, not cold temperatures, and when they are stored in cold temperatures, their starch converts to sugar, which affects the flavor, texture, and the way they cook. Onions should be stored in a dark, cool, well-ventilated place. When an onion is chilled, the cold, humid temperatures in the refrigerator converts the starch to sugars, just like potatoes, intend to become soft or soggy. Garlic should also be stored in a dark, cool place. Placing garlic in the refrigerator can make it become moldy. And the last food that does not belong in your refrigerator are tomatoes. The cold air in the fridge stops the ripening process, and ripening is what gives tomatoes more flavor. Speaking of tomatoes, preparing a basic tomato sauce ahead of time can liven up many stir fries and veggie dishes. I like tomato sauce with whole grains topped with vegetables. In podcast 36, we talked about how fresh herbs add delicious flavors and aromas to dishes made with everyday staples. Well, ginger is one of my favorite spices, and I always have ginger on hand to add to my holy trinity of spices, which is a saute of garlic, ginger, and Fresno chili. Store whole, unpeeled ginger in a resealable plastic bag with the ear pushed out and place it in the crisper drawer of the refrigerator. If part of the ginger has been cut or peeled, be sure to blot it dry with a paper towel before storing. Always have some mustard in the refrigerator, Dijon, yellow, or spicy brown. You can use it on sandwiches and for making vinaigrettes, dressings, and sauces. Nutritional yeast adds a cheesy flavor to food, so it's a wonderful ingredient to have on hand. I love it on popcorn, pasta, and you can even make vegan egg yolks with nutritional yeast. White miso paste is also another one of my favorite staples. It is made from a mixture of soybeans that has been fermented. It has a salty, savory, umami-rich flavor and can be used as a powerful flavor profile for salad dressing and sauces in place of unhealthy ingredients like oil. You can also just add it to hot water and build a beautiful miso soup. Tahini is a condiment that I like to have on hand, and it is made from toasted sesame seeds, and it's a great addition to homemade hummus. You can also use tahini for dressings and sauces. Other condiments I recommend are tamari or soy sauce for making Asian-inspired dishes. Also, mirin, M-I-R-I-N, which is a fermented sweetened white wine vinegar. Mirin can add sweetness and flavor to many dishes, sauces, and glazes, and it is available in most mainstream grocery stores in the Asian section. Rice vinegar is another Asian-inspired condiment. It has a delicate flavor and is slightly acidic, and it can help balance salty ingredients like miso and soy sauce. It also rounds out the umami-rich flavors in Asian cooking. And then, to round my refrigerator out, I like to have a salsa to add a kick to a dish, some unsweetened coconut chips, and gluten-free panko breadcrumbs to add crunch. Now let's talk about the freezer, where you should have frozen vegetables like corn, edamame, and green beans, so you always have healthy vegetable options when you're cooking. I also like frozen fruit, like frozen berries that can be used in smoothies, sorbets, or defrosted over oatmeal. It's also a good idea to have some frozen tortillas in the freezer, because they freeze well and can come in handy for a quick taco or quesadilla. Now let's talk about building dressings, sauces, and marinades for your recipes. A simple combination of an acid, like lemon, vinegar, wine, or mustard, combined with a whole food fat, like avocado, nuts, seeds, or tofu, and then a sweet element like our fruit paste or maple syrup. Then you add your herbs and spices like garlic, ginger, basil, or nutritional yeast. By combining these categories, you can create interesting flavor profiles to add spark to your salads, grains, legumes, and vegetables, all healthy and oil-free. If you want oil, you can add it, but you can create many marinades and dressings without the oil. For example, an oil-free lemon poppy seed salad dressing can be made with a citrus, like a half cup of fresh lemon juice, a spice, one chopped garlic clove, and a half-inch knob of ginger that's been peeled and chopped, a sweetness, 1.5 tablespoons of maple syrup or a fruit paste, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, then add 6 tablespoons of water and put that in a blender and blend it all together until it's smooth. And then I like to add 1 tablespoon of poppy seeds. This could also be used as a marinade. Now, let's talk about dairy products. You can always buy vegan dairy products like sour cream and cream cheese, but you can also prepare much healthier versions of these foods by making them yourself. Cashews can be used to make dairy-free chowders, sour cream, aioli, and cream sauces. Although you can achieve a similar creaminess from tofu, it will lack the richness that cashews bring to a recipe. A recipe I enjoy a lot is called cashew bechamel, and it is a basic white sauce that is very versatile and can be used in many dishes and a great replacement for traditional cream-based sauce. The cashews give it a richness usually achieved by cream. Now, let's go into Ordinary Vegan's kitchen and prepare it. First, prepare the cashews by soaking 2 cups of raw cashews in 5 cups of warm water for 3 to 4 hours to soften, and then strain them. Soaking those cashews is very important to avoid a gritty taste. Now, prepare the sauce. Heat 1/2 cup of vegetable broth over medium heat, add 1 onion chopped, and sauté until soft and translucent, adding more vegetable stock if sticking. Add 2 cloves of garlic chopped and cook for another 2 minutes, and then remove it from the heat. Transfer that cooked onion and garlic mixture into a food processor or blender. Add the cashews, 1 1/4 cup of vegetable broth, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, 2.5 tablespoons of nutritional yeast, a pinch of nutmeg, a little ground black pepper, and 1 teaspoon of sea salt. Blend that until smooth, and add more liquid if you want a thinner consistency. And that is it, cashew bechamel. Now, here are some ideas to use it. Pour it over some sautéed greens for a creamy side dish, or use it as a base for vegetables and whole grains for a creamy risotto. Or you can use this basic white sauce to thicken any sauce or soup. You can layer it between fresh pasta sheets with your favorite vegetables and bake it. Or you could blend it with roasted bell peppers and nutritional yeast and toss it with some pasta and bake it for a rich, oil-free mac and cheese. You can store cashew bechamel in the refrigerator for 5 to 6 days or in the freezer for 3 months. You get the picture. This sauce can be utilized in so many ways. I will put all my suggestions for the vegan white sauce in this week's show notes. Okay, that's it for today. I hope these suggestions help you in your plant-based kitchen. Before I sign off, I want to read an email I received from Ordinary Vegan community member Mark. Here it goes. A few months ago, I ordered your CBD oil on a whim. And to be honest, I didn't really believe it could help me with my chronic pain. But since I started using the capsules, I am a new person. At first, I cut back on my opioids, but now I am almost opioid-free for the first time in 10 years. Thanks so much, Mark. And that's why I promote it. CBD oil from hemp is a natural plant food that is taking the wellness world by storm for the promising ability to help with anxiety, depression, PTSD, panic attacks, migraines, addiction, arthritis, and chronic pain. Maybe it can help you. I decided to provide CBD oil to our community because it is helping people, and I want to make sure you had available a safe, vegan quality product. I will put a link to my CBD products in this week's show notes. Please join our healthy and supportive community on Facebook. We are over 315,000 strong and growing. Just go facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. If you have any questions for me, email me at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. I love hearing from you. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope this podcast and all my podcasts help you live a long and healthy life. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.